Prepare the way. Good morning. Welcome to University United Methodist Church. My name is Barbara Fote, and I am here to welcome you. I know we're missing a few folks. They're probably still cleaning up from breakfast. We fed a lot of good folks this morning, or maybe they're down in the kitchen getting ready for the luncheon. But we are glad that you are here on a cold and chilly day. May you feel the warmth of God's love and your friends here in this congregation. We do wear these stoles to symbolize our hospitality and our diversity and inclusion, so feel free to grab one. There are some in the back at the sides of the altar rail as well, so that everyone knows they are welcome here. There is in your bulletin a yellow slip. We would like for you to fill that out, particularly if you're new. We'd like to know and get you on our mailing list if you would like. So on the back side of that is a prayer request option. So if you have a prayer request, please fill that out, and then the ushers will collect it. Otherwise, just keep the yellow slip and drop it in the offering plate when that comes by for you. You'll find an abbreviated order of worship in the bulletin, and everything else you need will appear on the screen. And we also have the full text available on smartphone if you know how to use a QR code. That's in your bulletin. There are restrooms out this way. We don't have childcare today, but there are rocking chairs in the back, and children are welcome to be at the table here. Children are always welcome in worship. But we do ask that children have an accompaniment person, is that a word? Have someone accompany them throughout the building as part of our safe sanctuary policy. It is the holiday season. It is Advent, and you know there are lots of things happening all around at the church. An opportunity for you to get something good for your tummies or your baking or gifts, as well as do something good for our outreach program. We have pecans and or pecans, wherever you're from. This little green slip tells about the four different varieties, and if you ordered them, they are here today, and Deb Virgo will be in the gathering room, which is right behind here. But if you didn't order any and you would like some, please... There are extras that we have, so the pecans in the gathering room afterwards. And then, after church also, we have our Advent potluck luncheon, one of my favorite times. People bring instruments. We have a pickup orchestra. We eat a bunch of good food, and then we sing Christmas carols. And those of us who don't play, we grab our keys and we jingle those for jingle bells. But even if you didn't bring food, I'm sure there will likely be enough, and that is downstairs in the fellowship hall right after worship. Oh, she's already got her necklace ready to play. That's great. And then let's see. Then the third thing I wanted to mention is the Christmas dinner, which is a wonderful tradition that the Finlayson Schuler family has been doing probably for 25-some years. It's a week from Monday night. And they go shopping in the morning, and by 6 o'clock, there is roasted turkey and homemade stuffing and potatoes, and I had the whole trimmings, and we all bring desserts, and we have a lovely time. It's for church members, for the neighborhood, for folks from our Friday community and Sunday morning breakfast, and it's a great experience. And there is a beige sheet in your bulletin that tells you about those things. And then... thinking a little bit further ahead, just to flag you, our Christmas Eve service, which is a great pageant and almost always has a live baby Jesus. The children act out the story. It's fabulous. This year, listen up, 6 o'clock, not 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, much better for children. So the Christmas Eve service at 6 p.m. Lots of other things about the mission and ministry and programs of this church in your bulletin. And if you have any questions, please feel free to see me or Pastor Alicia or anybody on the welcome team. So it is time to continue with our worship. One of the great joys of Christmas, I think, is singing. When we're singing about the birthing of God right here in the midst of us. We are dedicating ourselves this Advent to singing in Christmas, and so feel free to be a singer or a listener as we give song glory to the newborn King through songs old and new, but we're going to start with a different song, O Christmas Tree. So some people, anybody have theirs up already? Oh, Alicia does. Okay, a couple of them. All right, so please stand in body and spirit for O Christmas Tree.
Thank you. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. I am Pastor Alicia Wood. I'm so honored to say that I am the pastor here for so many reasons. The other day, I was talking to someone, and they were blown away about how much food and diapers we give away at our pantry. So I've told you all about it. I can't remember. Oh, well, it was in the Chimes article, so this isn't new news, but 188 Thanksgiving bags, which means 188 families received a Thanksgiving dinner because of all of you. So we are grateful for all that you do. Hope. Are we there yet? Every journey faces the unknown, and anxiety sometimes overwhelms us. There's too much to do. Our lists are so long. Our calendars are filled up. We worry that something will go wrong, or we won't end up in the right place or take the right route. Getting lost is a real possibility on any journey. And yet, we claim hope for the journey. Isaiah says that there is one who is to come who will be the fulfillment of all our hope. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on this one, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge and the fear or awe of the Lord. We place our hope in this one. So today, Eric and I are going to light two candles, two purple candles. Okay, so you can get the light from that candle and light two purple candles. And as he does, we will light the candles of peace and hope, to give us strength for the journey. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and God may teach us the ways of peace and hope. Come, O come, Emmanuel. Thank you. You did good.
Good morning. I'm Connie Myers, and I'm the liturgist this morning. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in our responsive call to worship. God's Spirit has led us here. 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 There's a sweet, sweet Spirit in the place. Peace, hope, joy, love, it's all here. Let's continue singing in Christmas, singing hymn number 202, People Look East. Please remain standing. Look around. The spirit of Christmas is all around you. Before you settle back into your seats, take a moment to share Advent hope with your neighbors. When you hear the music, it's time for you to return to your seats and for the children to come forward and meet with Pastor Alicia.
Will the children come forward as they're comfortable? Good morning, everyone. I'm hoping we can kind of have a circle here, or a half circle. Can we do that? So we can, you want to sit here? All right, thank you. Careful of our car. So, today we're talking about hope. And so sometimes I think we hope for things like getting a good grade on a test, or maybe we hope for a certain kind of supper. Does anyone here have a favorite supper they always hope that mom or dad will make? Do you have a favorite supper? Do you have one? What? Can you tell us? Okay.
A whole Thanksgiving dinner.
Ooh. Okay. So mom and dad hopefully will make you very soon a whole Thanksgiving dinner again, right? So we can hope for that. Do you? Anyone else have? Yeah.
Rice.
Rice. Do you want anything with your rice for your hope?
Soup.
And soup. Okay. So we hope for things like this, and sometimes we hope for stuff because we don't have it. Like some of us might not have gloves or mittens to keep our hands warm, or a hat to keep our ears warm, or we might. Or some of us don't have homes, and we wish for a home so we're warm and we're safe, and we wish for these things, or we hope for these things. And sometimes we hope and hope and hope, and we're on that end, and we hold out hope for whatever might be. And sometimes we have something that we can give, and we give someone else hope. So maybe like today, some people had extra coats or mittens or hats or socks, and they brought them in. And sometimes we hope for something for ourselves or our family, but sometimes we can give hope or offer hope to other people. And so I love this idea of how sometimes we're the receivers of this hope and sometimes we're the givers of this hope. And all this hope goes hand in hand with what Jesus came to teach us, which is to be kind to one another and to share, like we shared today with all these coats and hats and mittens. So, will you pray with me? Okay. Loving God, we're just grateful that you give us hope. Let us continue to be hopeful in all we do and say, and givers of hope when we can. Let us remember that it's a both and, that we offer hope and we ask for, or we pray for hope. And we are so grateful that our children are here to share this time with us. And I pray this all in your many names. Amen. So you can all go back to whoever came with you or you came with, or you can sit at the children's table if you'd like. And as we do that, our choir will sing.
During this Advent season, we are listening to God's word as related by the prophet Isaiah and in Matthew's gospel. In today's readings, we are pointed to the end point of our journey. We hear words of hope, but we want to know the details. What is our final destination? What will it look like? How much longer? The first reading is verses 1 through 6 and 9 through 10 in the 11th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear, the awe of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. They will not know hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. And now from Matthew. Matthew's gospel relates the story of Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. John came offering forgiveness of sin, but made clear that he wasn't talking about cheap grace. He expected people to turn around their lives. I'm reading in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. Well, I have had quite a journey this week. I don't know if any of you have been on a journey this week. Maybe one of your journeys is cleaning the snow out of your driveway or off your sidewalk, but it's been quite a journey. I had a journey to Albany this week. I went to Albany on Tuesday to receive an award. It was for myself, Doug Mackey, Craig French, and all of you, University United Methodist Church. We received this from the New York State Department of Health Commissioner's Special Recognition Award for our commitment, contribution, and response to improve and promote the health and well-being of all New Yorkers through our work with the LGBTQ community and World AIDS Day. So pretty great. I even have a picture to prove it. There I am with Doug. Craig couldn't make it, unfortunately, but we were honored. So on my journey, I had some time to reflect. 2 hours can do that to someone, right? 2 hours there, 2 hours back. And I started thinking about when I first heard about AIDS. I graduated from high school in 1991, which means the 1980s were the time when I was a preteen and a teenager. And this is also when, I'm going to turn off this off. This is also when when AIDS came to the forefront in the 1980s. We didn't know what it was or what it was about or how people got it. All we knew is that people were getting sick and dying. And this is what I remember from my preteens and teen years. I also know that my family and my home church never said anything negative about people with AIDS. And when we learned how people contracted AIDS, once again, I never heard a negative word from my family or my home church about how people contracted AIDS and who they were, or that never came to be. And I think that that affects my work with the LGBTQ community and people who use IV drugs, because it never was in my childhood or my years when you're learning all these kinds of things, there was never a judgment. There was never anything against folks. And we certainly could have talked about that because we were talking about HIV and AIDS back then. And I think, I don't know this for sure, but I probably was one of the first groups of children who in sexual education class learned about AIDS and how to prevent AIDS and HIV. So I just, as I was reflecting, I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting, just in my lifetime. So we are doing a lot with the LGBTQ community here in this church. We have hosted World AIDS Day, I think 10 years, but it might be more like 8, but a lot. CNY HIV AIDS Network meets here in this building several times a month. CNY Pride, they meet and plan the Pride Festival and the Pride Parade here. They meet here monthly at our church. And you may have remembered Gertrude from her video a couple of months ago, how she, when she moved to Syracuse and started, she joined the CNY AIDS, HIV AIDS Network, and she couldn't believe that they were meeting in a church. She couldn't believe that she, having AIDS, would be welcomed in a church. And it really, really surprised her and brought her great joy. And a lot of the things that had kept her down, how she felt she was judged, they melted just because she knew she was coming into this building and she was coming to a meeting where people had HIV and AIDS and it was okay with this church, this congregation. So not only are we working with people who may contract HIV or AIDS through that stuff, we also have Narcotics Anonymous who meets here every week. So we're also working with people who may contract AIDS through HIV drug use or through IV drug use. NA also has fundraisers here, I think 4 to 6 times a year. One actually was yesterday. And we also have AA groups here. And, of course, we participate in the Pride Parade every year, and we've hosted the Pride Worship here as well. One of the things that really touched my heart about this congregation is when we learned that we might need to do something if someone were to come here and go in, have an overdose, a drug overdose, the outreach team put together a Narcan training. And 19 people participated in how to administer Narcan. And the ages ranged from early 20s to early 80s. 19 people between 20-something and 80-something learned how to administer Narcan if someone was having a drug overdose, either in this church or in the community. And I was really proud of that. And actually, on a side note, I know Katie will be interested in this. The person who gave us that training, he actually sadly died of a drug overdose. His name is Kevin Donovan, and he was honored at this award ceremony. Katie, he was honored as well, and he got him and his family got a standing ovation. Yeah, I started to cry too, and that was really sweet. So anyway, I digress. So we are doing a lot. And I'm not saying this stuff to puff us up and make us feel good about ourselves, but to remind us that we live in perpetual hope. We live in hope. I found this really great quote from Christopher Reeves, who, of course, was Superman, but then had an accident with a horse and became, I believe, a quadriplegic. He said this, "Once you choose hope, anything is possible." Wow. And we're choosing hope. We're doing all these things because we are hope-filled. We live in the hope that AIDS will no longer be a thing, that the epidemic will end. We live in the hope that the LGBTQ community will always be accepted everywhere. We live in the hope that people will think the church as loving and no longer judgmental. We live in the hope that God's justice and reign will be here on earth. Hope, this hope that John the Baptist speaks of in Jesus. Jesus did not just come to save our souls, but to save us by teaching us how to treat one another. This is why we long for this sweet baby full of hope. We are filled with hope because we know the rest of the story. We know what happens after Jesus is born and all that he does for us in teaching and living. I can't remember, and maybe Anne will be able to chime in, but we were at a Bible study on Friday, and we talked about how Jesus was about loving and forgiving. And we were reading the first 8 chapters of Luke, and something struck Anne and us that Jesus was about forgiveness and love. And she read this one verse that really struck her about this, and then I said, yes, and he lived this all the way to his death, because on the cross he even said, "You are forgiven." We have so much to learn and so much to hope for. And sometimes things are overwhelming. They're so dark and they seem to never end. And like there's no solution as how we're all going to get along. And someone said to me, oh, I think it was actually, someone said to me, "Oh, are you going over to Israel in February to create peace?" And I said, "I wish I could. It's a little more complicated." But we long for those days of peace everywhere. But sometimes it feels like there's just no solution. And we ask, will this journey ever end? Will we ever get to see the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? You may be asking, are we there yet? And how much longer will we have to wait till we get there? Martin Luther King Jr. had this wonderful quote and saying, "Only in the darkness can you see the stars." Maybe we're living in some darkness now, but we have the hope and we see the light, the tiny light of those stars in the darkness because of this hope. Isaiah is speaking of this day, a day when we all get along, even the lion and the lamb. As we live in hope, let's stay in active hope on the journey as we share God's love. And I have more show and tell for you because our outreach team has decided to challenge us in how we talk with or interact with panhandlers, and the homeless. And so they've challenged us to create a kit or many kits that you will put together and look like this. Inside are things like granola bars and antibacterial wipes, a water bottle, sanitary napkins, there's a deodorant and socks. And as you leave today, you can take one or several of these packets. And in this packet, you have a Ziploc bag provided for you. And inside, it tells you a little bit more about this and gives you what Galen is calling a recipe for your bag. And then you keep the bag in your car. And so when you're ready, if you come across or interact with a panhandler or someone standing on the street corner with a sign, or you interact with a homeless person, or however it comes about, or someone in need, you have these ready and available in your car so you can hand them out. And we, in addition to having the recipe, Galen had this in two months ago in the Chimes about how to respond to panhandling. And one of the things, the most beautiful thing, is to acknowledge people. Because even though they're not maybe like you or I, they're people. Inside the bag, you'll also find several small cards that are of information about our church. And we're doing this because we want people to know that they are loved by us and by God. And so on the back, it talks about worship, and it talks about also our outreach programs. And there's three cards in here about the church, so you can have enough for three bags. But if you want more, believe me, we have more information about the cards. Our vision here at the church is feeding God's people, body, mind, and spirit. And some of these items will feed bodies. But we're hoping that people will know that they will be loved and accepted here, and we might be able to feed their spirits and their minds in our congregation. So that is our challenge from the outreach team this winter, well, for this year, I should say. I would like to end by my time by blessing our kits that are yet to come, and our coats and our hats and mittens, and I saw some socks up here as well. Before I do that, I just want to say two things. These Ziploc bags with the information inside are as you walk out this door, and they're also as you walk out that door as well. So either way you go out, you can grab one of these. And I would like to bless these coats and bless all these things. And there's, oops, I forgot. There's also in your bulletin a flyer on hope. And I also challenge you to take this home and use this as a reflection time each day. There's space there for you to write if you have a reflection. All right, so I'm going to put this right here. Will you pray with me? Lord God, you came to give honor to the least, those forgotten, overlooked, and misjudged. You came first. You came to give first place to the last, those left behind, misunderstood, and undervalued. You came to give warm welcome to the lost, those who are orphaned, abandoned, and destitute. Help us to be your ears to listen to their cries. Help us to be your voice speaking out love and acceptance. Help us to be your feet walking beside those in need. Help us to be your hands to clothe, feed, and shelter them. Bless those who wear these coats, who wear these gloves and mittens and hats and socks, or receive a kit. Bless them. Let them know that they are loved and that they are forgiven. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
Isaiah and John the Baptist are both pointing to the arrival of God right here with us. That expected one will bring peace to the world and defuse the power of evil. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing hymn number 211, O come, O come, Emmanuel. Please be seated. We will now enter a time of prayer and reflection. If you would like your prayer request read as a part of the service, I've lost my page, hang on. Ah, here we go. Please pass your prayer slip, the one that looks like this, to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. Please feel free to choose to be a singer or a listener as we begin the prayer time, asking for God to be with us this year. We will begin our prayer time with a period of silence for personal reflection. I will share a spoken prayer, and then we will pray the Lord's Prayer together. Speak the Lord's Prayer using the words and language that are most meaningful to you. Now, settle yourself and open your mind and heart to the gentle calling of the Spirit of God. Let us pray a paraphrased version of a poem by Anne Weems. God, we know the night is still dark and a procession of Herods is still terrorizing the earth. The world still knows its Herods, but it also knows men and women who pack their dreams safely in their hearts. God, let us be those who set off toward Bethlehem, faithful against all odds, undeterred by fatigue or rejection, to kneel to a child. God, let us be those who are wise enough to follow a star, who do not consider themselves too intelligent, too powerful, too wealthy to kneel to a child. God, let us be those whose hearts are so humble that we're ready to hear the word of a song and leave what we have to go and kneel to a child. The night is still dark, but by the light of the star, even today, we can still see to kneel to a child. Now please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God,
who are in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come together here because of the simple fact that all are welcome here. We are united by our shared vision to feed God's people body, mind, and spirit. And our offering is one way that we affirm our commitment to that vision. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slip that look like this in the plate as the ushers collect the offering and the choir blesses us with a song. Please remain standing and join me in a prayer as we thank God for all the gifts we have received. God of new beginnings, This morning, we bring not just our gifts of money, but our very lives. We know we have fallen short of who you've called us to be. We've heard the call of John the Baptist to a time of repentance, and we know that call is for all of us. Help us to travel the journey of Advent with the resolve to live lives that more closely resemble the hope you have for us. May all that we dedicate here empower us and others to change direction and set our sights on a closer walk with your Son, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The Advent message is hope within our own hearts and hope for the world. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
So as much work as we do, we also have fun. So I'm reminding you all of the potluck that follows this service downstairs. You're all welcome. People of God, we wait with hope. We wait with courage. We wait with joy unspeakable, full of glory. We wait for the assurance that the Liberator will come in power, in justice, and in peace. Go now, trusting and believing that it is so, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.